Business can be like a circus. Don't let HR be the elephant in the room. Count on All4 HR and Business Solutions LLC for all your HR needs. Our team uses innovative technology, effective human resource management strategies, practices, and procedures to complete the work. Our services include recruiting, training, development, compliance, employee relations, HR risk management, HRM day-to-day operations, and more. Contact us today to see what we can do for you.
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. Happy Talk About It Thursday, everyone. It is April Halliburton here of All for HR and Business Solutions. I am excited, you know, Talk About It Thursdays is my second favorite day other than Freedom Friday. So welcome to the show, everyone. We have our special guest on here, Rodney Bellamy, who is a labor relations expert, and he's actually the founder also of Rod and Staff Consulting. So we're going to be chatting today, chatting about our favorite topic, right? The pandemic. So we're going to talk about the pandemic season. If you don't know who I am, again, I am April Halliburton of All for HR and Business Solutions. We are a virtual human resource business partner and consultant. Been in business a little over 10 years. Our mantra, folks, is business can be like a circus. Don't let HR be the elephant in the room. We manage and we consult with businesses 2 to 49 employees throughout the country. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at All for HR, and we are on Twitter at All for HR. We are on LinkedIn, All for HR and Business Solutions, and Facebook. So come on over and join us. Welcome, Rodney, to the show. This is our second live show, and I can't tell you how excited I am. Rodney, I've known for a lot of years. He's wonderful, knows his stuff when it comes to labor relations. Absolutely. Rodney, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, April. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Oh, yeah. We're going to chat about the pandemic season. I truly am looking forward to this little chat here about how businesses can make it work during this pandemic season. Because yes, we are still in the pandemic. I know you don't believe me. I think Rodney believes me still, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're still in it. So Rodney is a conflict resolution mediator and a labor arbitrator for Rod and Staff Consulting. He's been in labor relations since a long time. And he's a committed member of the National Association of African American in Human Resources. He is an employee relations subject matter expert. And so he's going to share a little bit about how he got started, what put him into labor relations. Because I think a lot of people take off running when it comes to labor relations. You agree?
Oh, you have to.
So he is committed and involved in HR as a conflict resolution and diversity global strategy awareness, which includes several public speaking opportunities. Welcome again, and thank you for taking time to spend with us and chat with us today on the air with All for HR and Business Solutions.
Thank you, April. I am so looking forward to this.
Good. Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into labor relations, or what threw you into labor relations, probably.
Throwing is the right word for it. not too many people may not remember back in 1986, the city of Detroit went on strike. Mm. And just before they went on strike, I had applied for a job as a typist, and I was interviewed by the storage department. for the Human Resources Division.
Okay.
And it was a great interview. He hired me. But what I didn't realize was that the city was about to go on strike. So when it happened, I was this brand new employee, little had a Gumby facial headset back in the day. And when the city went on strike, that was my first experience on being what they call a scab. I was crossing the picket line because I was a brand new employee. I didn't know any better. I was like, this is a new job. I don't want to risk my job.
Right.
It was so difficult when they were on strike because every day, April, I would be threatened by the people who would eventually be my coworkers. You know, they would tell me, don't come into work. We'll kill you and the dog and your girlfriend. Blow up the car. It was scary. It was scary. But after the strike, I ended up working with the same people, you know, and it was amazing to me how the mood shift. You know, now everybody's nice and friendly.
Yeah. And
my job was working customer service on the front desk. So I had the opportunity to learn all the facets of HR, everyone's job.
Okay.
My HR manager, he said to me, you remind me a lot of myself when I was your age. He said, learn all that you can. And I did. But every time I applied for a union position, I couldn't get the job because I didn't have enough seniority.
Okay.
Now, I saw people who have more seniority than me getting jobs. I'm like, I know I'm qualified for this job. How come I can't get it? Because I didn't have seniority. But then a job posting came up that I had never heard of. It was a labor relations investigator job. It was a non-union job. And because I was so familiar with the different with the different disciplines in HR, everybody else's job, took the test, passed the test.
Okay.
And the HR director came to me one day and said, "Hello, Bellamy, I heard you passed the test for a labor relations investigator." I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "All right." He said, "Well, you're going to start working next week, Monday, at the wastewater plant."
Oops.
Now, for anyone who's familiar with Southwest Detroit, where the wastewater plant is located, it smells bad out there.
Yes, it does.
And that's because of all the different factories out there working at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I was assigned out there, again, this little young kid, little young black kid, starting to work in human resources and labor relations. These managers, these old white guys that ran the plant forever, my job, tell them what to do, how to apply policy, how to apply the collective bargaining agreement. And they weren't hearing it from me. I'll be honest with you. I won't call out any names, but I got threatened by some of the guys out there. They would call me the N-word. They even threatened to throw me in a couple of the wastewater vats out there.
Wow.
They won't find you anymore after that. It was scary.
Wow.
But I had this great mentor, my first boss out there. I went to him and said, you know, these guys are threatening me. They're calling me out my name. What do I do? He said, well, you got two options. You can file a complaint, and I'll back you up if you do. Or you can try to make it work for you and get them under your control, and I'll still back you up.
Okay.
So I made the decision. I wouldn't recommend this for everybody else. I made the decision that, all right, I'm going to fight back and learn how to get them to follow my direction, which was difficult. When they made decisions, I had to show them how their decisions would be mistakes, how the penalties would fall on them if they might make the right decisions. And within a year and a half, April, they went from calling me N-word to calling me Mr. Bellamy. So I was able to gain their respect. They relied on me as the HR as the labor guy to tell them this is how you manage the policies and the contracts legally, respecting your employees, and where there are loopholes or gray areas, how you can legally manage those areas so that, as far as operations, without threatening or jeopardizing employees' jobs.
Okay.
And they stayed employed too. So I realized then that, hey, I got something going on here. I'm doing
right. Absolutely. So you that was, I'm sure, a task in and of itself. I mean, so it's a challenge. To get it done right, to actually make that kind of shift in a year and a half is really, that's an amazing accomplishment, especially when you go to being looked down by managers to actually leading managers, because that's a tough, you know, that's a tough thing, a very tough thing to do. So I'll congratulate you on that. I've worked with you. I met you at Human Resource Association of Greater Detroit.
Yeah.
Yep, that's when we, and that was years ago. ain't gonna talk about how long that was, but in any event, that was that in and of itself is a skill, right?
Yes. You and learn so you skin.
Exactly. And so you've taken that skill and it has trajected you into numerous positions, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And one of them has been you in this time, the season of pandemic that you the pandemic season is what you call it. The labor relations, you know, the questions have just been coming and coming and coming, whether it's small operations or large operations. And so one of the things is managing these teams remotely, especially when you've never managed a team remotely. Oh, you yeah. know, everyone thinks it's easy, but managing a team remotely is a lot different, a whole different animal than managing your staff on site.
I could tell you some stories.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. So tell me, what kind of things did you face dealing with clients during this time in the pandemic season?
It's a combination of employee relations on the non-union side as well as labor mm-hmm. relations on the union side.
Okay. Okay.
We have the same challenges. A lot of times managers feel that if I can't see doing.
Right.
And they feel that they can't manage and control their performance when they're not in their direct eyesight.
Yes.
The best way I could, you know, I tell stories a lot. So I'll get into what I'm talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
A manager I was working with complained that one of their employees wouldn't turn on their video cameras during their team meetings. And she said, well, I don't know if she's really there or not. My response to her was, okay, does she turn on her camera on time? Is she reacting? Is she responsive during the meeting? She said, yeah, but I can't see her. I said, well, that's not a major issue. As long as you know that she's responsive to you, because trust mm-hmm. me, some of us folk, we don't want you to see what our homes look like.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we might keep the camera off. Or mm-hmm. maybe I just woke up and rolled out of the bed and I'm not looking presentable.
Right.
Well, as long as I'm responsive to you, I can answer your questions. That should be enough. That was hard for that manager to deal with, but eventually we got her to come around.
Mm.
Another manager would complain about an employee who would never be on time for working. You know, she expects the employees, this manager expects his employees to email when they're ready to start work.
Mm-hmm.
Reasonable. You know, that way you know that they're starting, you know,
mm-hmm.
or anything. But then this one particular employee was always late, signing in like 15, 30 minutes later, would be late coming in for meetings. And this person too would rarely have their camera on, you know, when they need to have conversations with them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest concerns was that this employee was had three young children.
Okay.
One of the challenges that employees have now working from home is we think it's great. Employees think that we can work remote from home and everything just hunky-dory. No.
Not at all.
When you have young children and you can't rely on daycare, and now you have to take care of your children at home
mm-hmm.
and work, meet deadlines at the same time, it's not easy.
Keep the dog from barking.
Oh, the dog. God, yes, the dog. I have a German Shepherd back here.
Right.
I'm thankful he's quiet right now.
Exactly.
So this one employee, she called me and complained. She said, my manager is not being sensitive to me because I have these three young children. So I listened to the employee. I said, okay, well, you do have an expectation, which is to get your job done. Have you had a conversation with your manager? Did you say, hey, it's challenging managing my children at the same time? She said, no, I haven't had that conversation. I said, well, then you need to get on the call and talk to your manager about that. And maybe that manager would be, you know, sensitive to what your concerns are.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, I contacted the manager and explained to the manager what the employee had told me.
Right.
Said, oh, if I had known that was the problem, then we could have dealt with, you know, we could have changed her story. Right.
Exactly.
So yes. If you get the two to communicate with each other, manager, management and employee, you'd be surprised if they could work out together.
Right. And that's I think one of the key things, Rodney, is that the pandemic brought us all out of, you know, out of our shells. It brought us out of being what we're normal, what our normal is. And so we had to kind of change. You know, one of the things is so funny is I am a SCORE mentor. And so before pandemic, you know, I would always say, hey, you know, before you go and all over the city to meet people, meet them virtual first and see if they're interested. Because again, you know, a lot of people when they, you know, start, you know, on SCORE, they're excited and, oh yeah, I'm going to start my business. And don't even show up. And so you have committed individuals, SCORE volunteers and mentors that they're driving all over to meet for coffee and nobody shows up. No one wanted to do that. Okay. But then we realized that one of the problems is that a lot of people just were kind of intimidated about this virtual thing.
Yeah.
Because then it got to where it was required. Okay. So we had to, you know, teach people how to do these Zooms, right? Which is in and of itself funny. But a lot of, you know, again, we were doing things that we just were not, you know, used to doing. And, you know, change is hard. We don't do change is really hard. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And you're right. The virtual world, I've been virtual forever. So I can just imagine when people just all of a sudden, it was like one day this way, and the next day it was like,
You know, if you can imagine how the managers and employees are used to a certain type of work environment, you know, you can run across to the cube next to you, talk to your coworker.
Right.
You know, your boss can check out the manager.
Right. You know,
holler at you.
Right.
You know, they need to get your attention. But it's different when you're working remote now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes employees don't have their coworkers to bounce ideas off of as quickly and as easy as they used to. Now you have to call them on the phone, text them, or send them a message, you know, so you can connect with them.
But the thing is, I thought was really great, though, about it, is that it encouraged more communication. Do you agree? I think it encouraged more communication, know, across like people that employees didn't usually work with. They were working on in this virtual world. So I thought it kind of brought people closer together. Do you agree?
Eventually it does.
Eventually.
I mean, it's not an easy fix. It's not immediate because both managers and employees, labor unions as well, have to learn how to communicate virtually now.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times that's hard for people to get comfortable doing it before.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of employees, you know, who work remote, or from time to time you have managers who are used to working from home and they know how to navigate those systems. Mm-hmm. But when it's thrust on you like that, it takes some time.
Right. And I think in one example is with the school systems. That's a prime example is the school systems, is that the schools, because I was really surprised at the amount of teachers that were not tech savvy, I really was. I was amazed at that.
And the situation with the schools is such a challenge on everybody. I mean, because, you know, I mentioned earlier about how you have to not take care of your children while you're working. A lot of times now you also have to take care of your children, make sure they're doing their schoolwork online, keeping them focused. Go ahead, roll your eyes again one more time. And you also have to still do your job at the same time. That is a major challenge, you know. And I don't know if we've actually gotten all the skill sets out there, communicated to folks how they can get it done.
Right.
Yeah. It's doable, but it's challenging.
It is. And as I said, it was with I've been virtual for 10 years. I started virtual. And so I've been virtual for years. My challenge was the kid in the school. That was my headache. I was like, oh, for God's sakes. A lot of the teachers, there was an expectation that they're teachers, they're tech savvy. Yeah, that'd be a no. Not training, all of them.
Training.
Say it again. And they had to train really quick. Train really quickly, you know, to move forward. And so, you know, we've learned so much from with this pandemic, if you will, or this pandemic. I love that. A young man I was talking to was saying, you know, the pandemic has people, especially business owners, doing things that they just never thought were possible.
Absolutely.
You know, who would have thought these huge corporations would be taking their whole workforce remote?
You know, there's an extra level of challenge to it when you're talking from a labor relations standpoint. And a lot of times you'll have union contracts, collective bargaining agreements that dictate how the work is done.
Yes.
Where the work is done and when the work is done.
Mm-hmm.
When managers are trying to be creative, say, hey, now we're all working remote. We can be creative. Let's see how we can get the job done. Employee, doesn't this work for you? Then the employee says, hold on a second. I have a labor contract that says this is when I work. This is where we're supposed to be working. So, some labor contracts are specific to saying where your physical location is supposed to be when you work. So then you have to sit down with your union officials to have a conversation. Okay. We need to figure out how to manage around this.
Mm.
And that's why it's important to have a very positive relationship with your union.
What'd you say? One of the many reasons to have a positive relationship.
April, I've worked with a lot of different unions. I've worked with the type who understand the mission of the organization, and they are aligned with it. Mm-hmm. I've worked with the battle and the fight. I've worked with the union screaming and hollering because they'll say that because we're working for the evil empire and they can't get anything done right.
Mm-hmm.
So you folks like myself, we need to start off from the beginning having a positive relationship with these union officials so that we can have this dialogue and talk about, all right, labor contract says this, negotiations won't happen for 2 years down the road. Let's find a mutual agreement so that we can get things done for the sake of the employees. You know.
Yeah, you definitely have a great skill set for that. For working with people, for resolving conflict. I knew that right away from you in the beginning, because like I said, everybody doesn't have it. Everybody does not have it. A lot of managers don't have it. And you have to, you know, like you did with the, you were talking about the your first position. You have to somehow get people that don't intend to ever do it or to ever change to change, right? To change that mindset.
And you have to help them see the value in change. You know, especially if you have a lot of painful history. Here's another story for you. Doing work as a mediator requires me to recognize the type of pain when two people are at odds with each other. So a lot of times I have to help these two parties recognize that, okay, we know you have a lot of history with each other. You have a lot of pain, a lot of distrust.
Right.
But think about going forward, what type of relationship do you want to have so that you don't have to deal with the same type of pain? If you can get folks to recognize, let's push the past back a little bit.
Right.
What do we want the future to look like? Usually you can help them gain some ground, find some understanding. And I mediate as often as I can. Formal mediation doesn't work very well with employers. A lot of times they're not comfortable with that. But from an HR standpoint, you can sneak it in. You know, if you show that there's value in sitting the parties down, helping them see what the issues are, you can help them. A lot of times you can help them come to an agreement.
And that's okay. See, that's definitely a plus. So labor unions played a very big part with companies during the pandemic pandemic. And then, so I work a lot with small businesses. So tell me, give me an example of a time when it didn't work as well as you thought it could have or should have, your position with a company and from a labor relations standpoint.
It always works out. No, let me see. One that didn't work out the way it should have. I can think of that. one of my employers when I was living on the East Coast.
Okay.
One of the unions there was very ingrained in the organization. They were very well connected in the community. And there was an employee filed a harassment complaint.
Okay.
And the union was adamant that they were going to represent this employee, but they didn't have a contractual obligation.
Okay.
Opportunity to represent this employee when doing their harassment complaint. I had to investigate the harassment complaint. So the union is constantly coming to me saying, what's going on with the investigation? Tell us what's happening. And this is a union that I relationship with.
But it okay.
And I had to explain to them that I can't tell you anything. It's outside of your scope. You know, if the employee wants to share information with you, then the employee can.
Right.
But I can't share it with you because your contract doesn't allow you to do that. And the union officials were very unhappy with me.
Oh, wow.
And because they were well connected, they went to the CEO of the organization. They went to my HR leadership saying that Bellamy's not being cooperative.
Are you not cooperating? Were you not playing well with others, Rodney?
I wasn't playing well with them. I was trying to. But we were playing by two different sets of rules.
I got you.
So after I complete the investigation and I communicate with the employee, then the employee wants to bring his union in to represent him as part of the investigation, which we didn't mind that. That was okay. Then when the union comes in and sits with the employee, they want to turn everything around and say that it wasn't a proper investigation.
Wow.
You know, it got real ugly.
It sounds like a nightmare.
It was.
So tell me what kinds of things can you share with our audience about managing your staff remotely, whether it's from a labor relations plan standpoint or an HR standpoint?
Keeping communication open is so critical.
I agree.
It's very important that you explain to your employees, just as when they were working on site, you should have been telling your employees, this is what's expected of you. Mm-hmm. This is the time frame we expect things to be done. This is the avenue you take if you have questions and concerns. That should already be clear.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't clear, April, you're going to have problems when they're working remote.
Right.
It's kind of like, no, I'm not comparing, I won't compare it to a parent-child relationship. That can become very disrespectful. And I'll say, with any relationship that you're in, establish your boundaries up front, what the parameters are, what the relationship is all about, so that when things change,
yes,
maybe you and your mate have to now move to a different part of the state, and now you're living long distance.
Right.
You have to know how to communicate up front so that you can be clear what your needs are, what your expectations are, when those employees are working remote. Because if employees don't know what's expected of them, they'll start shaping their own rules and their own expectations.
Exactly.
At the same time, the employees need to understand that someone should be available to hear what they're going through.
Yeah.
A lot of employers just at large need to have meetings, communications with employees to say, hey, how's it going?
Yes.
Do you have any challenges? Anything that we can help you with?
Yes.
And hopefully the employees will be open enough to say, yeah, these are challenges I'm dealing with right now. These are some of the things that I might need extra equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need a new laptop. Maybe I need for you to pay for my printer, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
That communication is so critical.
Yes.
And try to have fun while you're at it.
You want them to have fun too?
You should always try to have fun at work.
Yes, you should. Yeah, because you have to keep it lighthearted, because there's so many things outer forces that are, that are affecting everyone. And a lot of those forces that you're not even, you don't even know about, you're not even privy to them. And so you have to try and make it so that, so it's not so difficult. You got to be able to understand, and you have to be able to empathize from both standpoints, from the employee plan standpoint and from the employer. You have to be able to empathize with each other, because we all have a role.
Absolutely. And people need to understand what their roles are.
Yes.
Especially from a labor standpoint.
Yes.
Our managers need to be comfortable communicating with their with the union leadership before you make a decision that, you know, that's going to impact all of your employees. Contact your union and say, hey, this is what we're about to do. Sometimes the contract might say you have to negotiate it. Sometimes you just need to let them know in advance. Mm-hmm. And even if the contract doesn't say that, you want to have a positive relationship, call them in advance and say, hey, union steward, or hey, union president, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're about to do. This is what we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. What do you think? You know, get buy-in from your union folks. Get buy-in from your employees before you just implement, you know, a change in policy or procedure.
Absolutely.
I would say it makes things go a lot smoother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I say that all the time. It's so important that you, that as employers, managers, leaders, you have to talk to your employees. You have to get them to buy into certain things. You need to find out what their thoughts are about certain things, how it's going to affect them. Something so, you know, that can seem so simple. You know, I remember working at a job this was years ago. And one decision like drove everybody nuts. And it was really simple. You never would have known. But one person who bought supplies for this big company, right, ordered the supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Manila folders. All of this for manila folders. Huge problem because of these manila folders. You know why? Because these were, what they call them, you know, they have the cut ones, you know, where you have the little tab here, the little tab here, little tab here. Remember those? You remember those?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one person decided that it was cheaper to get the ones that didn't have the tab. So a uproar, Rodney, a uproar. People are like, how are we going to see the tabs in the folders?
Because of what they're used to.
Because of what they were used to. And I'm looking like, mm-hmm. Okay, but do you see the problem? You're cutting a few dollars and you got the whole place in an uproar about these dang old manila folders. I wish somebody would know what I'm talking about, because I know somebody going to see this and be like, I remember that. But I mean, but you didn't, this person didn't say anything. She just went and did it. You didn't ask the people that were doing this job and working with these folders every day. What do you think?
Absolutely. They're the ones who do the work.
Exactly. So you have to be able to communicate with them, get their responses, their feelings, and especially during this doggone pandemic. You know, we have to know what people are going through as HR people, as labor relations. You have to, and you can't ignore it. You can't ignore the outside frustrations that people are dealing with, you know, in this past year. We just, the last thing you're going to do is ignore it.
You know, April, I would say this about the work environment where they are non-union, where they don't have unions.
Mm-hmm.
This pandemic season makes it ripe for unions to find their way into those organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You're not connecting with, if you're management, you're not connecting with your employees, if you're not listening to what they're saying, if you're not responding to their challenges,
mm-hmm.
you're not just answering their questions in a timely, you know, timely fashion, such as, why are we using these particular envelopes when you used to use these? Mm-hmm. These folders? If you're not having those conversations, that can make the employees say, my employee doesn't listen to me.
Right.
Who's going to represent my interests if management doesn't listen to me?
Absolutely.
And those are the folks who will go out. They will find a union that will say, well, obviously you need somebody to negotiate on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So if employers and managers want to keep a positive relationship with their employees, mm-hmm. so they don't feel that they need to be represented by a union,
mm-hmm.
be responsive to your employees.
Yep.
What I typically say in those kind of environments is, if you get a union you've never had one before, you were doing something that could have avoided that happening.
Oh, okay.
And not if they're there. Now that they're there, they're part of your family. Get used to it.
What'd you say, Rodney? Now that they're there, get used to it. I like that. I like that you said that. You said if you didn't have the union before and you have a union now, it was because of something you weren't doing that brought the union in.
Now maybe it's something that you, that's totally outside your control. But okay. If it is, communicate to your employees. A lot of times, I remember this one CEO at this organization who, in healthcare, every little thing that was negative, he would sit down, he would have a town hall meeting with the employees and say, hey, this is what's happening. Hey, these are the challenges that we're facing. Money is tight. This is what we, you know, if we have to do layoffs, we'll let you know in advance. And he communicated with the employees so well mm-hmm. that there were like at least like two or three unions trying to get into this hospital. Mm-hmm. The employee said, hey, we don't need you because our CEO is communicating to us. We know what to expect. Our concerns are being addressed. If you have those conversations, I can't say that's a perfect
right.
Minimize the possibility of them of having a union have to come represent your employees. And if you already have a union there, keep a positive relationship if you can. Talk with them, communicate with them.
Yeah, that makes excellent sense. Communication is the key. Without communication, I mean,
relationships.
Yeah, the business is just, well, there's no way. And you got to start it off. Like so many people go, oh yeah, we have an open door policy, but they really don't. It's just, you know, it's the thing to say. It's a policy that's written in their book, in their handbook. It's not necessarily something they do. But an open door policy has to be something that you do. It has to be something that a company is.
I challenge organizations. I challenge managers when they say, oh, we have open door policy. Yeah, okay, so your door's open. But what happens when they come in and sit down with
you? Exactly.
Do they feel engaged? Mm-hmm. Do they feel included? You know, mm-hmm. are all things equitable? You know, do you recognize the diversity of your employees? Mm-hmm. Communicating the same message to everyone, and you need to tell that message a little bit differently.
Yes. Having
a door doesn't mean anything. What matters is what happens when they come and sit down and talk with you.
Absolutely. I like that. You have an open door policy, but you have what happens when people come in, when they come in and sit down and have that talk with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you listening? Right. Are you listening? Do you hear them? You know, because again, I've seen so many companies that first thing they say is, we have an open door policy. Like, really?
Yeah.
They really don't even know what that means.
Don't have a clue.
Right. Don't have a clue.
I remember when the first time I relocated outside of Detroit, mm-hmm. and I took on what I openly say this was my favorite job ever. I was an employee labor relations manager in a hospital that had no unions in the beginning. And they had a brand new union coming in. Mm-hmm. And they needed someone that could help to re-brainwash, reprogram, retrain the management and the physicians to say, okay, for years, unions were not welcome here. Right. Now unions are about to be part of the environment. Mm-hmm. Now, as I said before, they're part of the family.
Right.
So we figure out, I had to help them rethink, reprogram them to see that they're part of the family now, and mm-hmm. we need to be respectful of them being in the hospital now. That was challenging. What made the job so much fun was that, one, I had to help build this entire infrastructure that didn't exist to help usher in a union. They had a standalone hospital that they wanted to keep union free. So at this hospital, I'm bringing the union in. I'm saying, this is how you need to manage the union when they come in. At the other hospital, I have to teach them how to keep a union out, treat your employees with respect. Plain and simple. Then my third job was to go around the entire health system and train the management on, if you have an existing union, mm-hmm. this is what, you know, how to minimize the problems that you're having with them.
Right.
I had this three-part job. I loved it. It was challenging, but I loved it. You know, we were able to keep one hospital union free because the manager learned how to treat the employees with respect. Mm. The other hospital, the union came in. Management learned how to respect their presence there and how to negotiate contracts with them. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the health system where they had unions at, we showed them how to rethink their relationship with their unions. Mm-hmm. So they can communicate better, have a stronger relationship. Oh, that was so much fun.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. I got more gray hairs from it though, but it was fun.
Wow. And now that was you were in that position how long?
Ooh, that was about 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. About four years.
Well, you have a lot of interesting positions, a lot. And like I said, what you do, labor relations, I can learn a lot from you on a daily basis. You know, Rodney, I really could. I really, really could. I like the fact that when you're talking about you kind of use the same sounding board that I've been saying, it's so important that you communicate. And it's something that you say, it sounds so simple, but a lot of companies don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't get it. And so you have to, you know, again, I would love to see what kind of strategies you use to kind of rethink, to change that mindset that individual, that managers may have, upper management may have. You know, how do you retrain that brain, you know, to think differently, to you know, make those kinds of changes.
Yeah. Oh, and again, it's not like a light switch you just flick on and off.
Right.
It takes time. You're going to bump heads as you go along. Mm-hmm. There will be a few, I won't say failures, there'll be a few challenges along the way.
Right.
But you learn from those challenges.
Okay.
And I rely on, actually, I rely a lot on storytelling.
Okay.
There are so many examples from places I've worked at that mm-hmm. almost every question a manager can ask me, I can say, I can give them the practical policy. Mm-hmm. But then I can also give them a real world example of this is how it worked somewhere else. And this is how you can shape it for your industry, for your employees, to make it work for you. So for me, I think storytelling helps me a lot.
I love your stories. I love your story. I do. I love your stories because every one of them has... it has that message that can easily resonate with anybody that can put themselves in their shoes and say, I can see how that worked.
Yeah.
You know, or how that was accomplished. So tell me three ways that you think companies can manage effectively manage, and I know there's a bunch of them, but effectively manage their remote teams during this pandemic season.
Okay. And if it's all right with you, I want to include the essential employees too.
Please.
Okay.
Please.
I mentioned earlier, communicating with your remote employees.
Mm-hmm.
In this pandemic season, we don't know when we're coming back to work. Everyone's guessing.
Right.
The best thing you can do is you can gauge, we think, don't give a 100% black and white answer, just say, mm-hmm. we think that we might be able to get back to work
mm-hmm.
within this period of time. If there are areas that you know there's no reason to come back to work, tell your employees, we don't think this function will ever come back. Now we've learned there's not a need for it. You can continue to work from home. Tell the employees up front what to expect. If you don't know the answer, be upfront and honest with them. Because we're all sitting at home wondering, how long am I going to get away with this? How long am I going to be forced to keep doing this? Because some employees want to go back to work on site. Yeah, some do.
Yeah, some do. Yeah.
Because of the challenges that they're having at home, you know, with the German Shepherds, with the babies, with the children, you know. I love that. You know, I'm saving money on dry cleaning.
Right. A lot of people are looking like that. Look, now work is like that light at the end of the tunnel. That's mm-hmm. right. I mean, I've loved working virtual. I've been good with it. I didn't like the shutdown kind of thing where we were like limited to going out. Now that I did not like, but I love the virtual thing myself. But I have, amazingly, a lot of people are ready to go back to work. I mean, when my son said he was ready to go back to school, I was like, oh my goodness, this is not good. Because my son never wanted to go back to school. Now he's looking like, oh, when can I go back to school?
He might miss his friends.
Well, they play on the TV thing. On the video TV thing.
You know what? As much as we as parents think that our kids, you know, are trapped and doing everything electronic, sometimes they want to see their flesh and blood. And, you know, they're used to going to school. So,
yeah.
And sometimes they like their teachers too. So,
yeah. Sometimes.
And actually, you actually pinpoint my second suggestion, which is listening to your employees and knowing what their needs are when they're frustrated with working. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. When we were on total shutdown, it was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we've learned we can go outside, can sit on the porch, you know, if you can tell your employees, go out and take a walk, just make sure you have time for our meeting.
Right.
You know, let the employees, give them what the boundaries are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you let them run out and do you're paying them for 8 hours a day. So you got to communicate what those boundaries need to be up front.
Right.
But listen to your employees. Help them figure out how they can manage being stuck at home if they are. I would say we can't ignore the fact that you have remote employees, and then you have those essential, what we call, what's the term we're looking for? CIWs, critical infrastructure workers, the ones that have to be on site. They have to be there. And remember, you have two different groups of employees, the ones that have to work there and the ones who are working remote.
Mm-hmm.
Don't treat one any better than the other.
Mm.
But when you have you need to be sensitive to the fact that they may not want to be there. They may still be afraid, even though they're working, even though they're getting paid. They may still have a lot of concerns and fears of, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. What am I being exposed to? Are my surroundings clean enough? You know.
Yeah.
You need to communicate with your essential employees. Let them know this is what you're doing to make the work environment safe for them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if financially you can afford to do this, really think about doing some type of hazard pay, pandemic pay, hero pay, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in hospitals. They do it in city government. Police departments do it. Mm-hmm. Can you afford to do that? Now, paying the money does not in any way excuse the type of danger they might be subjected to, or their fears of what they might be subjected to. Hopefully the employees do what they're supposed to do in the first place, providing a clean enough work environment.
Absolutely.
But showing that you can afford to pay them a little bit of something extra shows that I'm listening to you and we care about you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a manager ask me one day, well, we do what we're supposed to do. We have a very clean work environment. Mm-hmm. Why can't we give them hazard pay if the work environment is totally, you know, it's appropriate if it's clean? And I explained to him, well, for one, don't call it hazard pay. Call it something else. But don't, the work environment isn't safe. You're paying them that extra money because they're willing to come into work. You know, they're supposed to come into work. They're willing to come into work, do the job, and there's a risk involved, even a perceived risk.
Yeah.
Sometimes that makes employees feel, you know, just feel a little bit better knowing that somebody's listening to me.
Exactly. That someone is actually considering, because again, people that are, you know, those that are on the forefront, if you will, they're dealing with a lot that we are not, us virtual people are not. And that weighs heavy on you. You know, it does. It weighs heavy. Yes, it does. It weighs very heavy. And a lot of people don't understand that, because I think we've gotten so encompassed with what we're dealing with in our own space that we forget about what other people's spaces look like and what they're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? Because we're also what's inside our bubble is what we are thinking of. And that's it. We forget about there are other people there's other bubbles around us, if you will. And so you have to be, again, like I told you, I think it's important that we empathize and understand. I think that is so important, is that we really, really understand people. And don't be so quick to judge because you may not understand what they're dealing with or what they're thinking of. Don't be so quick, but, you know, listen. You know, just it makes a huge difference that you let people know that you understand and you actually listen.
Absolutely. My wife and I, we go out to eat a lot. Even in shutdown, we had to figure out how do we, you know, when can we go back out to restaurants? When can we travel again? Even when I stop at fast food restaurants, So I have a mask on when I pull up to the window.
Yep.
I've been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
That's so what? I still wear my mask because that person behind, you know, in the drive-thru doesn't know if I've been vaccinated or not. Mm-hmm. I still wear my mask. I tell them, thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they give my food, hopefully the order is correct, but when they give my food in the cage, I thank them for that too. And if they screw up my order, you know, I stay respectful when I get them to correct it because they're essential employees. They're feeding us.
Yes.
So, now, I still expect great service from everybody.
Yes.
But I have to be sympathetic, empathetic mm-hmm. to their plight. I don't know what they're dealing with at home. I don't know what they're dealing with their managers. I don't know if the employer is paying them extra hazard pay or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be respectful to those essential employees. And our managers need to recognize that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So tell me, what would you like to leave our audience with? What final thought would you like to leave with our audience?
We don't know when pandemic season is going to end.
Or if it's going to end.
Or if it's going to end. Things will be different than what way things were before March of last year. Things will be different. Be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
How these things change. If you have problems with how they're changing, speak up to your employers respectfully. Please. Employers, speak up to your employees. Speak to your employees respectfully
mm-hmm.
so that you can make sure that your needs are being met. And the needs of the organization as well. Because unless you're going to quit and find another job, you need this employer.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're working remote or whether you're working, be flexible. But hold your managers accountable. Managers, be flexible. Hold your employees accountable. Between the two, you're going to have a very positive relationship comes out of that. Because if you're communicating and you keep a strong relationship,
mm-hmm.
you can achieve a lot with that.
Wonderful.
That's for kumbaya, though, doesn't it?
It, no. You know what? Maybe that's what we need is some kumbaya. Who knows? That, you know, I mean, I find myself saying often, be kind. You know, and when I say that, I'm not being condescending. Please understand that. When I say that when I'm on my show, I'm not being at all. I think I put it out there just to put a reminder that it's easier to be kind than to be unkind. And we never, if it's one thing we've learned from this pandemic, is that, you know, nothing is promised. And we all have went through this. Nobody was obsolete. Okay. From the world standpoint, we can't even say from a country standpoint, from a world, we all experienced something that hopefully we'll never experience again. You know, and it was traumatic and it still is. We have people that have lost loved ones. We have people that are still, you know, me, myself, I'm still one of the ones I'm like, listen, I'm going to the grocery store. I'm coming back. I'll be right back. Yeah, I'm going in. I'm coming right, you know, right back out. Yeah, I'm not going out to eat yet. I would like to, but we just have to continue to be kind to each other and look out for each other when we can. We really do. That's just the nuts and bolts of it is we have to be kind to each other and we have to take care of each other.
As an HR employee labor relations guy myself, I've lost friends,
mm-hmm.
I've lost family
mm-hmm.
to this pandemic.
Yes.
So I try to be very sensitive and aware,
mm-hmm.
and that key word again, empathetic
mm-hmm.
to the needs of the employees because they're dealing with the same type of struggles.
Yes.
Friends and family die off. People mm-hmm. are sick. Family members are sick. They may be sick themselves.
Yes.
Managers are going through the same type of challenges too. They lose friends and family.
Yes.
They get sick themselves. We got to stay, keep that in mind that this is a very unprecedented time period we're in.
Yeah.
And even though we seem to have this strong separation of these people believe this way, believe that way. What can I say about them? Gee, I just walked into something I can't even answer. It's important that we educate and rely on each other. Try to stay away from having these battles over what's wrong.
Yeah. Well, I thank you, Rodney, for joining us on the show. Again, I could pick your brain on labor relations forever in a day. Because you're good at what you do. You have a huge heart, and you are, like I said, you definitely have a talent for working in labor relations. I appreciate you coming on the show. I hope to have you on again.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I wish you well in everything you're doing, because you always have your hands in like 15 or 20 different things that you always have. Yeah. So I appreciate you taking time out to join us, and I look forward to having you on the show again.
I look forward to it, April. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Thank you so much again. Folks, I want to thank you all for joining us on Offer HR and Business Solutions, on the air with Offer HR Biz. If you haven't had a chance, be sure to go on over. Follow us on Twitter at Offer HR. We're on Instagram, Offer HR, and we're on Facebook at Offer HR and Business Solutions. If you haven't had opportunity, don't forget about our Facebook group for small business owners and HR professionals. We're always sharing great tips. Coffee with Offer HR on Tuesdays and Wednesday mornings from 9 a.m. to 9:30. Facebook Live on Tuesday evenings. Tomorrow is, you guessed it, Freedom Friday. So join us for our Freedom Friday HR question. We'll be answering that live tomorrow morning. Again, don't forget, business can be like a circus. So don't let HR be the elephant in the room. Until next week, stay safe. Wear your mask. Be kind. Take care, everyone. Thanks, Rodney.
All right, April. Bye-bye.